Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad he's given life to us. Hallelujah. And it's under the blood. Oh, praises to your name. Hallelujah. Oh, all right. I'm settling down a little bit. It's okay. Revelation chapter number 20 this morning. Revelation chapter 20. When you find Revelation chapter 20, also find Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter number 18, hold your place there. And if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, we'll get into the message. I want to say thank you, and we will again tonight. But I just appreciate your pastor and his wife so much. They are great friends and have been a great blessing to us. And the church has taken on their qualities. There's no doubt about that. A sweet church, sweet people. And I just thank the Lord for you very much. And my father-in-law loves this place, and I've been here a few times, and I'm getting more and more to understand why he loves it so much. Wonderful place to be. Revelation 20, are you there? The Bible says in verse number 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." That ought to be enough to cause every one of us to go ahead and say amen right there. Yes, that was pretty good. That really ought to be a good place for us to say amen right there. Amen. One day, he's gone forever. Amen. But now, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I want to talk to you this morning about standing before the judge of all the earth. Father, I pray this morning, help us. Grave is the subject that we're going to discuss. My heart has been lifted and swells with pride in the God of my salvation. I am so grateful for your grace, your mercy in my life. And Lord, there's others here would have to say amen to that. You've been good to us. And Lord, I thank you for what we've heard this morning, the good singing, the fellowship that we've enjoyed. But I pray right now that you would captivate our hearts, every one of us. May we not turn this subject and make it trite in our heart. May we approach it with godly fear and trembling this morning. May we understand that this day is coming. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. I believe there's some here this morning, I don't doubt, who are lost, have never been saved. Holy Spirit, please work in their heart, I pray. Help them to see their need of Jesus. Help them to lose their fear of people. And help them to come forward and receive Christ today. And then those of us that are saved, I pray that you would encourage us. But then, Lord, I pray that you'd set us on fire again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter number 18, hold your place because we're going to spend our time here in Revelation 20. In Revelation 18, Abraham has been approached by the Lord in what is referred to as one of his theophanies. Theophanies is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ upon this earth, obviously before he came in flesh and took our place upon the cross. He appeared to to Abraham. He spoke with Abraham, and he told Abraham what he was about to do. He was about to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, "The wickedness has ascended up to me, and I've come down to see if it is as exceeding sinful as what has come up to me." And so he comes and he tells Abraham. And the Bible says that Abraham enters into a dialogue with the Lord Jesus Christ. The two men that accompanied the Lord went on to Sodom, and then the dialogue began between the Lord and Abraham. It was a prayer meeting, if you will. And Abraham is there, and he stood yet, the Bible says, in verse number 23 there, he stood yet before the Lord. And he begins to bargain with the Lord to try to save Sodom and Gomorrah from being destroyed. And you know how he begins at 50 and works his way all the way down. But there is one thought that has captivated my mind and my heart that really is the springboard, if you will, of our lesson, our message this morning. Look at verse 25 where he is speaking. He says, he's talking about those 50 righteous, not to destroy the city for 50 righteous. He said, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" May I say to you, the judge of all the earth is going to do right. He is going to do right. And on this particular passage, as Abraham has said this to the Lord, is not or will not the judge of all the earth do right? It is interesting to know that this is really a picture, Pastor, of what God is going to do in the end times. Lot is a righteous man who vexed his soul with the cares of this world, and God removed Lot out of Sodom before he destroyed Sodom. The just, the righteous will not be destroyed. The just, the church, will not go through the tribulation period. We're going to be raptured out of here. There is no doubt about that. We are gone. But the lost will abide here upon this earth, go through what is known as the great tribulation time. And then at the end of that, there'll be a 1,000-year reign in which we will come back with the Lord and rule and reign with Him upon this earth. Once that concludes, we come to a period of time, and you might want to turn me down so I'm not too loud for people, but once that concludes, we come to a period of time that is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. This is as sure to happen as the appointment that you made today to come to the house of God. As you entered into this building and sat upon these pews, you did it with determination, you did it with decision. One day, this day will take place where the judge of all of the earth will mount the throne known as the Great White Throne. And those who are lost will stand before the very God of heaven, will give an account, and they'll be cast into what is called the lake of fire, not just for a time, not just for a moment, but for eternity. They'll burn in this place, in this abyss. And I want to talk for a few moments, if I can, about standing before the judge of all the earth. I left my songbook down there. Hand me that songbook that I have marked. I need to read something real quickly. Get that to me. I want you to listen to the words of this song in your songbook. It says, "There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming, there's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come?" Listen to this last verse. "There is a sad day coming, a sad day coming, there is a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner shall hear his doom. Depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready
for the judgment day. I ask you this morning, as we ponder this passage of Scripture, can I beg you in your heart to examine your heart? Know for certain before you leave these doors this morning, know for certain that you won't have to stand before this great white throne judgment. Know for certain that you won't have to stand before the judge of all the earth and hear him say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." What a tragedy that would be for someone to be here this morning and kiss the door of heaven, have the opportunity to be saved, to turn away from that door of heaven, to go to everlasting punishment, to die forever without God in a place that is called the lake of fire. I'm thinking about this place. I want you to look at your scripture now. Revelation chapter number 20. Look at verse number 11. First of all, I want you to see that we find a clear description. Notice what it says in the first few words. And I saw what? A great white throne. A clear description. It's great. This speaks. I want you to listen. I got to do this quick. Intense fear. See, there is a reality. There's people who discredit the fact that people will die and go to hell. There's people who say that there is no fire in hell. There's people who say that God would not judge man. Would you listen to me? Just as God is a God of love and mercy, he's also a God of wrath and of judgment and of justice. I've heard people say, "I want justice." I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, we don't want justice, because if we got what we deserve, we'd be in a devil's hell. Thank God for his mercy in our life. Thank God for his saving grace in our life. Thank God that we don't get what we deserve, but we get what we don't deserve, his grace in our life. I'm here to say, ladies and gentlemen, this is a place of reality. People are going to stand in intense fear. I need you to take your Bible real quickly. Notice, and I'll just quote this verse, but in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, I'll tell you what, let's go there real quickly. We'll do our best to get this done quickly, so you got to turn quickly with me, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. And when you get to 1 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's actually 2nd. You bypassed it. What are you doing that for, huh? Stay with me now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, I want you to notice verse number 11. He says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Why is it that you and I are giving the gospel, those of us that are saved? Why do we give the gospel out? Why is it we try to sow that seed? Why is it we try to give that good news out? I'll tell you why. Because of the terror of the Lord. Oh, but he's a loving God, yes, but he's a terrible God when it comes to justice, wrath, and when it comes to judgment upon a man's life. He is a terrible God. Notice Hebrews chapter number 10 with me. Hebrews chapter 10. Give you time to try to turn there. If you don't get there, just listen. In Hebrews 10, in verse number 30, the Bible says, "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." What are you saying? I'm saying there's coming a day when people who have rejected Jesus Christ will stand before him and they'll literally fall into the hands of an angry God. Why is he angry? He's angry because they rejected his way of being saved and born again. "Well, but I'm a good church attender." We're going to talk about that in a little bit. "Well, I've turned over a few new leaves." We're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm saying if you've not accepted Jesus the only way, then, beloved, you're going to stand before this man called Jesus, who is going to be a fearful thing for you to do. It's a great throne, intense fear. I want you to listen as I read a few other verses in Matthew chapter number 10. The Bible there says this for us to listen to. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. The Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What am I saying? I'm saying we'd better get a fear of God. We better understand that this is not just going to be some easy, happy-go-lucky type of a circumstance. This is standing before the very God of heaven and Him pronouncing judgment. That is eternal judgment. It is not a judgment of a prison sentence that will last for a short time. It is a judgment that will last forever. Forever burning in this abyss called hell. I could take you to many of scriptures. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says it's appointed that a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment, then I find over in the book of Acts, chapter number 17, talking about this great throne. And verse number 30, the Bible says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Can I just go ahead and shoot something down here real quick? Would it be all right? Thank you for giving me permission. I'm glad you did. Hey, listen, God's not he's not an election type of a God. He hasn't picked some to be saved and some to be lost. He's not willing that any should. I said he's not willing that any should perish. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, the entire world. Here he says he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God is a merciful God, but there's coming a day when that mercy will turn into judgment, when that mercy will turn into wrath. It won't be that I'm a merciful God now. You said no, therefore you go to this place called the lake of fire. He commandeth all men to repent because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. I'm saying this is a great throne. There's intense fear. The people who are coming here, they're not just popping their bubble gum. They're not just laughing. They're not boozing it up here, buddy. They're standing before the God of heaven. They're trembling in their socks. Why? Because today, reality comes before them. They're standing before God. Those that sing their songs and mock God and say they'll be partying in hell will be trembling in their socks this day. The Hitlers who have tried to do away with the Jewish people and God, and the Mussolinis and the atheists who have all rejected God, this day they won't stand up there on their soapbox. This day they won't stand up there pronouncing themselves to be something. This day they'll bow before the very God of heaven and say of truth, thou art the Son of God. Yes, they will. It's a great throne. It's great, it's intense in fear. It's a reality. Then we notice the second word. It's a great what? White throne. This is illuminating fire. It's a revealing throne. See, the Bible says that his eyes are as a flame of fire. The Bible says that God is a consuming fire. That's what the Bible says. What's he speaking of? All of that pretense, all of that make-believe, all of that put on, all of that show off Christianity, all of that Christianity that's not real is going to come to fruition this day, and the reality is going to be, hey, here's the truth. You've tried your own way. You put up a show for everybody else, but you knew you were lost. You felt my Holy Spirit convict your life. You understood the Word of God. You said no to God. It's time now. You'll die and you'll go to a devil's hell. I'm saying it's a white throne. It's pure in judgment. It'll reveal man's pride. It'll reveal perversions. And it will reveal all of the possibilities that a man had to be born again. It's a great throne. Intense fear, reality. It's a white throne. It's illuminating fire, revealing. And it is a throne. This means impending fate. What a man has done, he says, I'm going to make it on my own. I'm going to work, and I, by my works, am going to attain heaven. Are you listening to me? The wages of sin is, come on, help me. The wages of sin is death. Death will be pronounced this day. It will be pronounced upon everyone. They'll get their just dues. They'll get their payment for their works, all that they've done. They'll die. They'll die without God. Without God. It's a throne. It's impending fate received. It's everlasting fire. They'll be engulfed in flames. Look at Matthew chapter 18 with me quickly, please. Trying to hurry. Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew 18. And this hurry is self-imposed. Nobody's hurrying me. I just feel like I need to. Matthew 18. Look at verse number 8, what it says. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into what? Everlasting fire. Hey, listen to me. I don't care what Charles Stanley says, who is supposedly a Baptist preacher, who supposedly is preaching to people quote-unquote truth and says that there is no real fire in hell, that it's just separation from God. My Bible says it's everlasting fire. That fire is not a figment of your imagination. It's a real burning inferno, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not pretty up hell. It's a burning. It's an awful place for somebody to die and to go to. Saying, he said, it's better that you cut your foot off. It's better that you cut your hand off than to go to hell. He goes on to say in the next verse, he goes on to say, let's see in verse 9, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. I'm saying this is a throne, and on this throne it will be impending fate received, everlasting fire engulfed in literal flame. Then, friend, we not only find a clear description, may I say, we find a conferred duty. Look back in your text again there in Revelation chapter number 20 again. Notice what it says. And it says, I saw a great white throne. Now watch this. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now notice verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before who? Oh, wait a minute. Jesus isn't God. Oh, yes, he's very God. I said Jesus is very God. He is not just a God. He's not just the Son of God. He's not just a good prophet. He is God. And he is the one that will sit upon this throne. He is the one that shed his blood for your sins and for mine. He is the one that says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. He is the one that says, come. Come, drink of the water of life freely. He says, come. We reject him. One day, we'll stand before Jesus Christ, God. It's a conferred duty. And him that sat on it, from whose face before God. Notice this. When it says, and him, he is deserving of this throne. Why? Because he has the certifications to be on this throne. See, there's a lot of men who have worked their way through politics up to be able to obtain a throne. Hitler would be an example of that. Yeah. Mussolini, different ones have worked their way up to where they attained emperor status. They attained being the czar, if you will, the main man. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ didn't have to work himself up. He has been certified. The one who is qualified to sit upon this throne. He made himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Even Satan will bow his knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person who has rejected Jesus Christ will bow before him and say of truth, thou art the Son of God. It'd far be better for us here upon this earth to bow before him now and say, thou art the Son of God. I trust you as my Savior, rather than that day being forced to bow before him. I'm saying he has the certification to sit upon that throne. Then I want to say, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. He is dreadful on this throne. See, in John chapter 3, verse 17, are you listening to me? Are you all right? Oh, man, you're loud. It's all right. You'll get through it. I'm preaching truth to you this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, trying to help you this morning. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at Satan. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at sin. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at hell this morning. I'm not mad. I love you. I want God to touch your heart. And whether you've been putting on a pretend testimony or whether you just flat are lost without God, I want to see you get born again today. I don't want to see you go to this place we're talking about right now. I don't want to see you have to stand before the God of heaven and him say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Oh, no, friend. I want to see you get born again. I'm saying he's dreadful here. John 3, verse 17. The Bible says God sent not his Son into the world to do what? Condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved. And he goes on to say that those that haven't are already condemned. But I'm telling you, on this day, he's not standing there as one offering salvation. That day is gone now. Are you hearing me? As this judge is sitting upon this throne, he's not there to hear your sad story about how somebody tripped you up and it's not your fault that you're where you are today. This day you're standing before the God of heaven and he's looking at you and he's saying, I've come to condemn. You know why? Because I came to save. You rejected it. Now it's time for judgment and condemnation will fall your way. See, the Bible says, he that believeth, let me get over there because I'm not going to quote it right. Somebody help me with John 3:36. Somebody surely knows it. Man, you ever had your mind just go blank? I know that verse almost like the back of what? Hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son, get this, shall not see life, but the wrath of God. Oh, wait a minute. He's a God of love. Yes, he's a God of love, but he's a God of wrath. The wrath of God abideth on him. You say, why? Well, just watch this, Brother Gilmore. Would you not agree with this? If your children, and these are mine, if you come by and you offended my children and you did something to them, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be upset. All they've done this week, and nobody has, by the way, I'm just an example, all right, all right. But they're here, and all they've done is come to serve and try to help this week. And you offended them, I'd be upset in my heart. How do you think the God of heaven feels when those walk by and they snub their nose at the very one that came and took their place on a cross called Calvary when he shed his blood for all of their sin, offered them grace without limits in their life? What do you think the God of heaven is going to feel when you snub your way by the Son of God? The wrath of God abideth on him. I'm saying this is no pretty picnic, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the great white throne judgment. We're talking about standing before the judge of all the earth. We're talking about standing before him who will do right. Well, that just seems unfair, really, when he's given time and opportunity after opportunity to be born again. No, it doesn't seem unfair to me. I'm so glad one day, January the 16th, 1985, the Holy Ghost of God knocked on my heart's door. I was trusting the fact that I was raised in some preachers' homes. I was trusting that all my life I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church all the time. I was trusting the fact that I was serving in church. I was trusting the fact that I was traveling with the home and singing here and there. And I was trusting all of those good works to get me there. But Jesus helped me to see that I was headed for a devil's hell. That day, hallelujah, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. He changed my life forever. He wants to do that for you today. Romans 12, verse 19. Let's look at that scripture real quick. I'm trying to hurry, please, quickly. And I'm trying to get there quickly, too. I should have marked it probably. Romans chapter 12, look with me. Verse number 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Preacher, you don't seem to have compassion. Oh, my heart's broken inside. But I don't want you to think for one split second that this is not a serious matter that we're speaking about. This is not something of great significance that we need to understand this morning. I don't care how many times you've been to church, if you've never been saved, you're lost. I don't care how many preachers' hands you've shaken. If you're not saved, you're lost. I don't care how many Sunday school lessons you've taught. If you've not been saved, you're lost. You're headed to this place. Oh, friend, listen this morning. Don't go that way. Please don't go that way. Saying it's going to be a dreadful time. Standing before the judge of all the earth. Then it says before God, see, he has declared upon this throne as to who he is. The first had to do with certifications. The second has to do with condemnation. The third has to do with confirmation. Now, this is not just a God. This is not just a good master. This is God. God himself. So I'm saying, we see these things, a conferred duty. We see a clear description. Now I'd like very quickly to give you two thoughts regarding this time. First of all, I'd like for you to see the people before this throne. The Bible once again says, verse number 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead." Verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in it. Every man was judged according to his works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." Who are these people? Number one, they're identified. They're dead. See, God told man yonder there in the garden. He said, look, I made this garden for you. You can eat of every tree that is in this garden. There's just one prohibition, just one, of that tree in the midst of the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. People will say today, well, see there, preacher, there's a discrepancy in the Word of God. Because they took of that fruit, and they lived after they partook of that fruit. But you're missing it, friend. The spirit of man immediately died. The spirit that desires to be with God was gone from man. So therefore man standing as a body and a soul hid himself from God. He was dead immediately. Every person that's born into this world, the Bible says a man born of a woman is in few days full of trouble. What does that mean? You're born into this world with a sin nature. And that sin nature, well, it's not fair that I go to hell. But you'll not go to hell for somebody else's decision. You're going to go to hell for your own decision. You said no to Jesus, and it's not because mama didn't take you to church enough. It's not because daddy didn't take you to church enough. It's not because maybe the preacher didn't preach it hard enough for you or light enough for you. It's because you made a choice to resist the Holy Spirit of God, and you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And you know in your heart right now, you can feel it in your bones. I know I'm not saved. You can feel it. You know it. You're dead. Dead. They're identified. But then number two, I want to say they're not only identified, I want you to get a hold of the fact. Well, let me just tell you who they are real quickly. I've only got a list. And what time is it, baby? Oh, boy, I got to hurry. Got 3 minutes here. And I've got about 13 things to give you. They're dead. Listen, there's rulers in hell. I said there's rulers in hell. You'd help me to finish this if you just go ahead and say amen. That's right. There's rulers in hell. There's religions in hell. The Catholics, the Mormons, the JWs, the Muhammads, the Hindus, all of them. Hindus have 30 million gods, and they die still without the God, Jesus Christ, and go to hell. Righteous. There's those that are church attenders. They're religious. They know how to play the part. They even know how to pray the prayers. They even know how to read the Bible, but they've never been born again. There's rejectors who have just visibly or quietly. And they walked away from God. And one day will stand before Him. And they'll rue the day that they said no. How about this? There's relatives in hell. I don't have time. Move on. I wanted to tell you a story. I don't have time. They are identified, but then I want to say they are immortalized. What do you mean? Well, when we are called up to meet the Lord in the air, this corruption shall put on, and this mortal shall, or I'm sorry, let's see, this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on, here is the resurrection of the damned. Body and soul, they are reunited again, immortalized. They'll burn forever in hell. They'll feel the pains. They'll feel and sense the terror. They'll feel the darkness as a thousand midnights. They'll feel the presence of things about them. They'll feel worms crawling. The Bible says it, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. They'll feel all of that. They'll be immortalized. They'll feel that pain. For eternity. See, the JWs say, even if there was a hell, there's the complete annihilation of everybody. They just go and they're done, it's over with. Oh no, it's day after day after day after day. See, I believe that we'll step into eternity where there is no time. But I believe they're going to step from time into eternity and they'll still be counting the days and the hours and the moments and the months and the years that they rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. Forever. Body, death, and hell. Then they are indicted. What are they indicted for? Oh, I gotta hurry. Where's the blood? And they say, well, how about my works? Did I not do many wonderful works in thy name? Did I not cast out? Did I not? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me. For I never knew you. Can you get this? And then I'm going to quit. Can you get this? Would you listen to me, please? It's not important how much you know about Jesus. It's important that Jesus knows you. There's a lot of people can walk around and say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all they want. But does Jesus know your name? Because He takes our name and He writes it down on an everlasting roll. By His blood. Yes, yes. Let me give you this last. We see the people before this throne. And then we see the pleas about the throne. Here they are, crying for mercy. But there is no mercy. Look at Isaiah 66 real quickly and I'm done.
Isaiah 66. Preacher, I really am trying real hard, real quick to finish this. This all right if I finish this last little bit here? Preacher, is that all right? I'm done. Isaiah there, chapter 66. Where is Isaiah at? Before Jeremiah, and then I'm trying to rush too much, but watch this. Isaiah 66, look at verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Forever. Forever in hell. I ask you to stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. The preacher's coming. I wonder if it'd be one here this morning. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. Would you stand to your feet for just a moment? I'm going to turn it over to the preacher. Would you stand just a moment, if you can? Would there be one, every head bowed, every eye closed, please? Because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But would there be one that would slip their hand up and say, Brother Preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure that heaven would be my home. If I died, I might go to hell, and I don't want to, Preacher. Would you pray for me? Is anyone like that this